Jeanne Flavelle's Hot Commodity Podcast Series. Empowering clients with commercial intelligence, supply chain expertise, and risk management solutions.
Good afternoon, everybody. My name is Nicole Thomas, and I am Vice President of Information Services and Sales for McKinney Flavelle. Today is January 15th, 2021, and welcome to our Hot Commodity Podcast. Now, I would say I have a quote-unquote guest today, but considering he's now part of the family, I'll just introduce him as Sean Bingham, Director of Risk Management Services for McKinney Flavelle. How are you today, Sean?
I am good, Nicole. How are you?
I've been better, Sean. My feelings are hurt. They've been hurt all week. Can you guess why?
Have anything to do with football?
It has a lot to do with football.
Yeah.
You know, the Steelers are... They hurt my heart. You know, I've been a fan for a long time, but I think the saddest thing for me on a personal note with them getting knocked out, you know, one and done, was how much money I spent on Steelers gear, anticipating a run all the way to the Super Bowl.
Mm-hmm.
And now I guess that's going to, those items of clothing will become pajamas.
Yeah, that it was really quite the collapse at the end of the season for the Steelers. You probably don't know this. I was a closet, not even a closet Steelers fan. I was a huge Steelers fan when I was a little kid, and I lived in Dallas.
I can only imagine.
In this little apartment complex my mom and I lived in, they would play particularly the Steeler-Dallas games, because that was always a big one on Monday night.
Right.
They would put them out by the pool on this, what was, you know, a projector screen back in, you know, in the day before real big screens. And I would be there with my helmet, my shirt, and every year they would throw me in the pool. So.
but that just teaches you to be a good diehard fan.
Yeah, but it didn't stop me from liking the Pittsburgh Steelers for a long time. So in a weird way, now that I have been in Chicago for a long, long time and have allegiances to the awful Bears, I was at one time a Steelers fan.
Well, I guess we can mourn the Steelers together here, Sean, and find another team to get behind for the next few weeks.
Yeah, that's gonna be tough.
Yeah,
that's
I know. Same here. Well, my sister's a big Green Bay fan, so
You know I can't go there.
Yeah, right. I was just about to say that. Not an option for you. I can get away with it, but not an option for you, sir.
No, I'm going to be stuck with Kansas City from here on out. I like Patrick Mahomes a lot, and I was born in Lubbock, Texas. He's a product of Texas Tech University.
There you go.
Out of my part of the country, there. So, yeah.
Cool.
Good enough for me.
Well, you know, same note of interesting scenarios and disappointment, maybe for commodity buyers. I'm sure it's been a good time frame for commodity sellers, but for commodity buyers, we've had some very interesting market dynamics here over the last few weeks. You know, we got our WASDE report on Tuesday, and got another surprise. Fundamentally, things certainly seem to be pointing towards a bullish scenario. But I think just as interesting in all this story is the speculative influence on the markets right now, and how some dynamics might be changing there, or have changed, I guess I should say, at this point. And considering you follow this stuff pretty closely, Sean, what do you think about what's taken place over the last few weeks and what's driving that?
Well, it's no surprise that we have seen an increase in speculative interest across all commodities for a while now. Since the CFTC began publishing disaggregated weekly data back in June of 2006, I believe it was, you can see where you know, the either the long interest, the net long interest or the net short interest has been getting wider all the time. So every few years that go by, we hit a new high long interest, or we hit a new high short interest. And so, of course, the recent one is corn, and corn has topped. And by large speculator, I mean managed money and the other reportables category, has topped 500,000 contracts. I believe it was 520 thousand contracts the last at the last look, and we'll get more information on that today. But I would be very surprised if we don't see that go up again. So what's kind of interesting about this is, you know, we've always seen a lot of, you know, high interest in corn in particular. It's one of the higher or most traded contracts for speculators.
Right.
Obviously, crude oil is way up there too.
It's a
big one. And crude oil, corn looks like it might surpass crude oil in total long interest. Crude oil is about 550,000 contracts at last look. And that's not completely unusual for crude oil. And maybe crude oil is even a little bit on the low side right now, just because, you know, we had that big sell off, but it's building, and I don't see in total, you know, we may get that correction in corn, and we can talk about that a little bit in corn and soybeans, but I think there's a lot of fundamental reasons, market, you know, overall market reasons that point to more and more longer interest in commodities as a whole.
Well, you know, that was going to be my question, Sean. Like, what do you think has changed that has led to, you know, this resurgence in interest in agriculture, well, particularly in agricultural commodities? Because, like you mentioned, you know, the energy contracts, there's always a little something going on there. And I'm old enough to remember, you know, 2008 through 2012, 2013, 14-ish, when the last time, I guess I would say, or, you know, tell me if I'm wrong there, but the last time that these numbers were or this length in the market was so extensive, and just a general interest in agricultural commodities across the board, with renewable fuel standards and growth of biofuel and the growth of demand for feed products globally, all that stuff. So is that a big culprit now, or is that the only factor, or are there other things driving that too?
Well, I think there's the fundamental story behind corn and soybeans, just, you know, the idea that stocks are on the decline, and it seems like the USDA was behind the curve a little bit on reporting that and got caught up here. So there's that whole story of the balance sheet for corn and soybeans, but there's a backstory here, and that backstory is kind of a currency story. You've got the dollar that has been on decline for a long time. I think we're trading, it was up to just recently trading near, you know, 4-year lows and some major support. I know a lot of traders on the currency side have piled into that trade, and the expectations was the dollar was going to be lower by the end of this year. So that may be an overcrowded trade. But it's certainly been a big tailwind for commodities and agriculture commodities for export trade.
Yeah.
There's, you know, there, when that happens, there's this story, there's another story of, I don't want to call it a return of inflation, but let's call it at least a reflation. And I think that's the right word, because the Federal Open Market Committee has been calling for 2% inflation, I think, for the last 8 years.
And we've been looking for it. We haven't found it yet.
And every meeting, they put the same darn number out on inflation all the time, and we haven't gotten anywhere close to meeting it.
Right.
But I think there's some shifts going on that the reflation story is coming. The COVID has created a situation where the government is going to have to spend an enormous amount of money. Borrowing. You know, we'll see what a new administration means for that. But I think most people agree it means bigger government and more spending there as well. There's kind of an odd story here too, and I think one of the reasons that we're seeing more money flow into commodities as in general is, if you're going to protect against inflation, commodities have always been a good spot to put money. Right. And of course, the old saying was, well, you put your money in gold, because gold's always been a safe haven.
Right.
But we have this new thing called Bitcoin.
Yeah.
Bitcoin topped 40,000 not that long ago.
Yeah, crazy.
And it's taking, and it's odd, it's taking money away from gold. And I wonder if folks that aren't comfortable with Bitcoin are going, okay, well, maybe gold's not the place to be anymore, but maybe crude oil and corn and coffee, and maybe all these other products are. And unfortunately, the CFTC doesn't break out index money. They have an index category, but it doesn't divide it between the speculators and the commercials.
Exactly.
So it's there, but we really have a hard time judging how much it really is. But I suspect a fair amount of this new long interest across the commodity board is money coming from commodity index funds. I think those folks see it's pretty scary to blindly put your money in equities right here.
Yeah.
Bonds are return-free risk, as one gentleman once said.
Yeah, right.
so what are you going to do? In smart money like pensions and endowments, those guys, when they believe that inflation is something that's, they're long-term. They're not looking for inflation in 6 months. But they may say, look, over the next 5 years, we're finally going to get that reflation, and commodities is going to be not just a good place to be if that story is true, but also a really good place to be if we get a big equity correction. Commodities might do well if it's because of an inflation story.
Gotcha. Well, that's really insightful information, Sean. Really appreciate you getting into that. And, for our premium subscribers here, we're going to jump into talking a little bit more about what this means in the future, for futures, considering that I'm sure for a lot of our clients on the buy side of things are wondering, okay, so what does that mean and what should I be looking out for the next 6 months? As it relates to these underlying commodities and the futures they're tied to. So we'll jump into that now. And thank you for those listening. And of course, if you would like to become a premium subscriber of McKinney Flavelle's information, have access to
it. And why wouldn't you?
Why wouldn't you? Of course.
And why wouldn't you? Of course you would.
I'm sure you want to hear this next part from Sean. So
only gets better from here, right?
Exactly. So don't hesitate to reach out to us. And I think that wraps up our weekly Hot Commodity Podcast. As always, want to thank everyone for listening in. And again, don't hesitate to reach out to us if you have questions. Though he is not on the podcast today, our fearless leader, Mike, always says, live with an attitude of gratitude. Totally agree with that sentiment. And until next time, take care.
That concludes this podcast episode. For expanded commentary and more detailed information, log on to McKinney Flavelle's IQ Ingredient Intelligence platform and listen to our Market Insights podcast. If you're not a subscriber, visit McKinney-Flavelle.com for more information. And as always, follow us on YouTube, LinkedIn, Facebook, and Twitter.